Blog Talk Radio.
Again, welcome to Freedom Radio. This is Brother J.R. Dunlap. Tonight we're going to be continuing on with a discussion that we had a couple of weeks ago back in our first Tuesday of August. Tonight we're going to be having a discussion on politics in the church, part two. We have the same guest that we had with us last time, Dr. Tress, and also Mr. Nate Sanderson joining with us, and we'll bring them in momentarily. But for right now, we just want to go over a couple of housekeeping items with you. If you would like to join the conversation or add to the conversation or ask our guests or myself any questions, we ask that you just press 1 on your dial pad. We'll see you light up on the switchboard here, and then we'll get to your question or your comment as quick as possible. Tonight is going to be a real special show because we're dealing with something that is real controversial, something that is really a hot topic. And with 60 days before our presidential election, we as Christians, it seems like we will be kind of drawing closer and closer to each other rather than what I'm seeing is drawing farther and farther apart from each other. So we're just going to jump right in. Good evening, Dr. Truss. Just say hi to our listeners for us.
Hi, this is Dante Truss. So thankful for being here this evening. I hope all is well.
All right. Thank you, good brother. And Mr. Sanderson, say hello to the guests for us, or the listeners for us.
Good evening. How's everybody doing? This is Nate Sanderson, Columbus, Georgia, NAACP.
All right. Well, let me tell you, we're just going to jump into it. You know how I do it, gentlemen. Tonight I saw on CNN that this time last year, 60% of the voters in our country had already made up their minds, on who they were going to vote for. And the question that came to my mind was, should they actually know by now if that is something relative for them? Can they know right now if this is what they, who they need to be voting for with 60 days left with a lot of other things that still is yet to happen? There hasn't been any debates as of yet, and so I'm thinking that 60 days is a long time for a lot of things to happen or some things not to happen. And I mean this from either both candidates or one of the candidates or either party. There's a lot of time left before the actual elections, so shouldn't debates have some influence on your votes? Another question I thought about was, is it important to hear both sides by both of the individuals, especially since, regardless of whatever side you take, the truth sometimes seems to be distorted, statistics seems to get manipulated, and also some things are taken out of context. So tonight on tonight's show, Freedom Radio, we're going to just continue the show that we had from last month. We got a lot of good feedback, not just so much about what we were talking about, but because of the guests that we had with Dr. Truss and Mr. Sanderson, one Republican, one Democrat, and also the callers who were able to engage in a whole bunch of responsible dialogue, but not just responsible, but respectable. And that was one of the most frequent comments that I heard. So I thank you two gentlemen for your spirits as men of God, as Christians, and how we were able to show the world, show the listening audience that this is how we should be able to behave as Christians. It's not about agreeing with the other side all the time, but being able to communicate to each other in love. And I'm just convinced that that's how it should be. Minister Thompson, did you jump on the line with us, sir?
I am.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good
evening. Glad to be on the show.
Now, let me just tell everybody what we got tonight. We have one Democrat, one Republican, and one Independent. I think that is a very good mixture of individuals to have on the show. But what I wanted to do tonight was I'm going to start off with Minister Thompson, let him introduce himself. He's been on the show before, but for those who have never heard him before, let him reintroduce to some and introduce himself to the others. And then we'll bring the other guests on momentarily after that. So, Brother Thompson, can you just go ahead and tell the listening audience, just give us a little bit of background about yourself, and take a few minutes to just give that introduction.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm very excited to be on the show tonight. I appreciate the invitation, Nathan. Looking forward to sharing some information with some brothers and sisters in Christ about something that's very relevant and significant to all of us. As Nathan said, I'm a minister. I've been in ministry now for about 20 years. I'm 37 years old, started ministry pretty young, and made a whole lot of mistakes and still making some, but excited about what God is doing in our lives and where we're headed. I'm a husband and father of three great boys, and I just feel like the church is in a place where God is getting ready to take us into a new season. I'm looking forward to what he's doing. So that's all I got to say about me.
All right. Thank you, Minister Thompson. Let me start with you. I really want everybody to really understand, and you came on a few minutes after I did this, but where are we going tonight? Tonight, really what I want us to do, gentlemen, is just to dig our heels into this conversation about voting, because this is the hottest topic. This is all over the news. We had the Republican convention last week or a week before last, whenever it was. We have the Democrat convention going on today. Right now we see that a lot of the candidates, or both of the candidates and or their parties in some way, shape, or form are really fighting, stealing, begging, lying, whatever they're doing it to try to get my vote and your vote, spending a lot of money, whatever it may be. And so what I want us to do tonight is not just to have another show just talking about politics, but politics and the church, how it affects us. And we want to explore what is God's role in this whole process of voting. What is God saying about this whole political process? What does God want? I really want us to be able to have conversation as Christian men, especially, to be able to have individuals to listen on the other line, for them to be able to say, okay, it's not as bad as we see on TV. It's not as bad as we see across the internet. Because what we're doing, gentlemen, this is something that I don't see. And you may see it in your circles, but in my circles, I don't see us having this type of conversation. So as a starting point, the thing that came to my mind was it's important for us to start off the conversation not as a Democrat, this is what I would do, as a Democrat, this is what I think, or as a Republican, this is what I think, but as a Christian, as a man of God. And I say this because if we can explore the conversation from this point versus the place of where myself and Brother Thompson have different political views, it seems like we're going to be swimming upstream. Brother Thompson,
yes,
sir. The questions are basic. We really just going to let God do what he wants to do and communicate how he wants to communicate. But the questions that I thought about, the questions that I hear individuals speaking about is, how should Christians vote? And
okay, you want me to respond? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, please respond. How should Christians vote? What is biblical behind the decisions that men and women of God should be making when it comes to this political process and voting for the candidate of choice?
Well, I think one of the guiding factors, one of the things I would probably just have to stress is the fact that the necessity of just exercising that right that's been fought for all of us, regardless of race or gender, that we exercise that right to vote, regardless of who you decide to check that name beside. So that's obviously the most important thing. Second of all, in terms of guiding or the rules or principles guiding, determining who you select or who you feel like God is selecting you to vote, I honestly believe that every one of us, we all have issues that we're unilaterally concerned about. And there are some things that we're all find ourselves in different places. And as a result, we have to vote in terms of what we feel like is going to affect us and our family and our nation as a whole. So there's a bit of responsibility along with the personal concern. But I think when we look at Scripture and we look at the way in which God would have us to govern ourselves, and that is in terms of determining who's going to be a part of that governing process, I think we have to look at those individuals that not necessarily always has the same mindset or goals that we have, but I think we have to look at a little bit deeper than what's said, look at the character of the individual, look at the heart as much as we get to see. We get to see a lot of rhetoric, and we get to see a lot of things that don't seem to really speak the character to any of us. But, you know, the reality of it is, I don't think that being a Christian means that I'm a Democrat or a Republican. I think being a Christian means that I've submitted my will to that of God, and that I will seek his direction in every decision that I make, small or significant. And the Holy Spirit is that guiding presence that will say to you, you may feel this way, or you may have been hearing this thing about this particular person, but this is where God wants you to go in terms of who you're voting for. I don't believe that nothing happens by chance. I believe that it's God's people and there's God's representation here on the earth. I think everything we do, that there is a divine appointment and assignment for it, and that we believers, as long as we're on our jobs, regardless of who's in office, we have the spiritual authority and responsibility to make a difference, not just in our prayers, but in our communication, things to say and how we live. So the bottom line is, I've said a lot to say this, I have an issue when we begin to characterize and say that, okay, this is the supreme issue on the Republican ticket, no abortion. So if you're a Christian, you must be a Republican, or if you're a Democrat, you're concerned about poor, you're concerned about the middle class, so you must be a Democrat. I don't believe those things are the guiding factors for us. I think ultimately it's trusting God's wisdom and direction for what he speaks to our individual lives.
Wow, thank you for that. Brother Sandman, let's go to you first. Any response to anything that Brother Thompson has put out there for us so far?
Not really. But to answer the question that you asked,
sure.
I would try to say that we vote our interests, and our interests, if they align with God, then everything will work its way out. But what we find too often is our interests are not in line with God's interests. So therefore, we have self-interest instead of godly interest. So I think everybody, regardless of Republican, Democrat, Independent, you vote your interests, and that's the bottom line.
All right, Dr. Truss, so we'll go ahead and let you chime in as well.
Well, first of all, thank you again for allowing me to be a part of this dialogue. I certainly appreciate being able to discuss this with godly men.
Thank you,
sir. Again, I believe that many times we start out with the idea that we're going to vote our interests, just as the gentleman just stated. And I think we begin to look at what candidate aligns himself or what party aligns with our interests. But then we look deeper and we research and we find out that though it was outlined for us to look like one thing, many times it becomes more of someone's self-interest or personal interest and is not lining up the way that we thought it was. And I think a lot of times because of that, we find ourselves in very interesting situations when it comes to voting. A perfect example, I spoke with a gentleman just today and was sharing about the process of voting and the importance of it. And he said, well, you know, no matter who I vote for, it doesn't matter because I've found over the years that what I want and what I need and what I believe in doesn't come out and doesn't come to existence. And because of that, this gentleman has become very upset with the voting process. And I think all parties, are somewhat guilty of that. And I think we just have to do a better job of making sure that we mean what we say, and we explain thoroughly what we mean and our positions are, and make sure that everyone is very clear about what we're truly trying to do. A lot of times this voting process and these parties and the issues are very murky and very cloudy. And I think we all have to do a very good job of clearing all this up so that we can really see where we come in and where our real interests lie. Politics are very interesting, and it's not ever black and white. It's mostly dealt with in the gray. And though some
right.
try to make it seem black and white, it's still very gray, and a lot of explaining and a lot of understanding has to take place in order for you to, for one to know where they actually lie and what issues will be addressed by the person or persons who they think will be addressed by. So saying all that to say that this whole voting process, the whole politics and religion, you know, as much as we want to make it cut and dry one particular way, it's very, very murky and it's very, very cloudy to some. And we just have to do a really good job of making sure that we further explain and make sure, one, people understand exactly what we're talking about and how we're lining things up.
Thank you. And that's why I said it's very important. I threw this out there with 60 days before the election. A lot of people already have their mind made up of who they're going to vote for. And without the debates that we've seen, one of you mentioned character. One of you mentioned the different rhetoric. It's easy to have a one side. It's like preaching. Three of us are ministers here, right? It's easy to preach. It's a little bit more difficult to do a Bible study when you have an individual that's going to ask you a question back. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different story. So that's why I think the debating process is important. It should be valued as part of the decision-making process of who we as individuals are going to select as whatever that is. And let me share something that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I was at our seamstress getting some work done, and she says, "Mr. Dunlap, I'm not going to vote." And I was like, "Why?" She says, "I'm just fed up with the process," something that you just mentioned, Dr. Truss. She said, "Mitt Romney is a Mormon. President Obama is a Muslim, and I'm a Christian." That reminded me back of the same thing that I heard back in 2008. Back in 2008, I heard that same type of conversation. I can't vote for Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon. I'm not going to vote for President Obama because he's a Muslim. Regardless of what President Obama has said about his religious faith and tradition as a Christian, that's what that person's mindset is. So sometimes when people make up their minds, it's really nothing that we can really do to change it. But what I said to this individual, and I was just throwing it back just so the individual can hear how they sounded, I said, "Well, I remember President Obama saying that he was a Christian." "No, he's a Muslim." I said, "Well, you're a Muslim." And this lady says, "Oh, no, I'm not a Muslim." I said, "Well, how can you say that this individual is when you don't know? But just like I'm saying it to you, it doesn't make sense. I can't put that label on you." So what I'm looking at is, are we dealing with hidden racisms? Are we dealing with a lack of diversity of somebody of a tradition or a faith group outside of ours? And I throw that out there because if this is about God, if God is the one who ultimately is in charge of everything, that's what we say as Christians, why can there not be a president of this country as a Mormon? Why can't the president of this country be a Muslim? We have them in our Senate. We have them in our Congress. So what makes it different? I don't hear anybody fighting about or talking about it from that perspective. Well, we can't have our senator as a Muslim, or we can't have our senator as a Christian or a congressman, whatever it may be. I just want to throw that out there because those are the type of things that I hear as I go around. And if we don't have conversations about them, if we're not willing to engage in conversations about them, especially when there's somebody coming from our own party, and y'all know I'm not aligned with either party. So, Dr. Truss, if that was somebody from your party, how would you be able to respond, or what could you possibly say to that individual? Because their decision about voting is already made up at this point.
Look, my phone blinked out toward the end. Repeat the last part of the question. Just want to make sure I have clarity.
Sure. What is it that you would be able to say, or what can you say to that individual if they were from your party that was saying the same thing that she communicated to me? I'm not going to vote for this person because they're a Mormon. I'm not going to vote for the president because he's a Muslim. Regardless of whether it's true or not, they're not going to vote. We know that their vote is important. Everybody's vote is important. But what
right.
can we say as men and men of God to say, well, let's have a little bit more dialogue? How would you engage that individual in that type of conversation?
Well, again, as you stated, I think it's just so important that we impress upon them the importance of them voting. And I think then we have to walk them down the list of things that if they're not going to vote, that they probably should not complain about, and just further educate them on the entire political process. And again, as we started out with in our previous conversation, everything is political. And by them going out and casting this vote, again, it gives them an actual voice on how they want to see the future of this country begin to shape. And we also have to share the whole idea about making sure that instead of being so negative about the voting process, just make sure that in that person's religion or religious beliefs, make sure that you begin to look at the concepts that the persons are sharing and just analyzing it to see which between the candidates better align with the things that are important to you. And we also have to remind people that no candidate is going to match us 100%. I think we just have to look at it holistically and begin to say, which is closer to what I'm in agreement with, and begin to align and push. And again, just remember that when the vote is not cast, when we don't utilize our opportunity to do that, we almost forfeit our abilities to have input in the decisions that are made in this country.
Thank you for that. Mr. Sanderson, would you like to chime in on that as well?
Sure. I want hopefully I stay on the thought pattern here, but I was sitting here thinking, and something came to me, and just in sort of rhetorical question, like, the art of politics, last time we talked, we said everything is political, and I heard it mentioned here again tonight. So I concur with that. Everything is political. And I'm thinking about how we as Christians, as secular people, how we are so ignorant of the political process.
Mm.
And it's tantamount to me not knowing a thing about how to play golf and then going and trying to apply my religious beliefs to the game of golf.
Mm.
It doesn't work. So I think one of the problems that we have as Christians and as secular people, especially as blacks, is that we don't understand, for the most part, politics. Many people don't even understand that we don't have a direct vote for the president of the United States. We have a representative democracy where we have an electoral college, and the electoral college goes and votes for the president. The closer you get to your local official, the greater your democracy is. Like, we have a one-man, one-vote for the mayor and the city council. But then as we step away from that and we start getting to the federal level, the system changes. And so we don't even understand the basic tenets of politics and how they work. And I think that serves us as a disadvantage. I'll give you one example of one ethnic group that I believe understands politics in the United States better than any other ethnic group, and that's the Jewish community. If you look at the Jewish community and you look at politicians and how they fight over the Jewish vote in the United States, if you could only understand how many Jews are actually in the United States, but yet and still their vote, that one group of people can sway a whole state and make a nation change its foreign policy because they understand politics. So I think that we have to first, as Christians, as responsible citizens, understand politics.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Let me tell you what we all live in the same area, down in the Columbus, Georgia, Phoenix City, Alabama area. And we had a local race for mayor, city council, council at large, three city councils. And there was about 30,000 plus or minus citizens in Phoenix City. But only 5,000 came out to vote. I think that's very, very unfortunate that the amount of people that actually come out to vote was so low. But at the end of the day, whoever is the mayor is the mayor. Is that right? Whoever is the city council person. So I'm in agreement with everybody, and I think people need to hear that, because when you hear those statistics and how close they are to your own community, that lets you know that, yes, your vote is really, really important. There's something we want to come to in a minute, but we have a caller that's on the line. The caller with the last four of 7600. You have a question or a comment?
Hey, guys. How are you all?
Good evening, sir. How are you doing?
Good evening. What a wonderful conversation you all are having. You all have talked about so many great things. Your last point, whoever the person was who was talking about the Jewish community, man, you were so on point with that. But I just wanted to ask the question because the moderator was just talking about a local election we had and the poor turnout that was in that election. And then I'm not sure what your name is. I think you're a doctor, but you were talking about the fact that if you don't vote, you cannot complain. And I just wanted to pose a question and just ask, you know, I've heard that before. And it kind of goes to me when you say taxation without representation. And, you know, a lot of times states will take away the rights of convicted felons for whatever particular reason. You can't vote. You can't do these things. And I always thought to myself, you know, convicted felons, they pay sales tax when they go in a store to buy a loaf of bread. Okay. They pump gas, they pay taxes for that. So I guess I just wanted to pose the question, what happens when, you know, you just talked about the fact that you have to choose the lesser of two evils sometimes when you are talking about these races, and perhaps in President Obama and in Mitt Romney. You know, what happens when you look at these two guys and you say, President Obama is for gay marriage, or he is okay with, you know, gay marriage and same-sex unions and whatever. You know, as a Christian, that just goes against my moral value, so I cannot support that. And then you look at Mitt Romney and you say, you know, here's a guy who does not believe in helping others, or he believes that the wealthy deserves preferential treatment for whatever particular reason. So I can't vote for him either. So you don't vote for either of the two. And I just want to ask the question, and I'll hang up and listen to you all. You know, even if you don't vote, and you just said it a second ago, moderator, you know, whoever is the mayor is the mayor. So whether I voted for him or not, he is still my mayor, which means he should be sensitive to my concerns. So even if I don't vote in this presidential election, I'll hang up and I'll listen to your answer. How is it that I cannot complain when, in fact, I pay income taxes, I pay sales taxes, you know, I'm a citizen of the United States of America? How is it so that I cannot complain when either of these guys that don't line up with my moral values, I won't vote for them? But how is it that I cannot complain? And I'll listen. Thank you, y'all, for having a wonderful conversation.
All right. Thank you, good brother. Appreciate you listening and calling in today. Dr. Tuss, let's go to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. First of all, I want to thank the caller for a very good question, and I'll respond to it by saying I think with everything, there are exceptions to the rule. And when you're looking at persons who are felons, who have lost their right to vote, if you will, I understand the plea. But the reality of it is they were accused, they were tried by a jury, or whatever the case may be, and they lost those rights. And if under the right circumstances they can regain those rights, then I would definitely suggest that they do it. But if for some reason that cannot happen, then I understand your plea with them not being able to complain. Maybe they could complain a little bit. However, the reality of it is they did lose their rights, and that's a part of that process. I don't necessarily agree with that piece wholeheartedly. And I know some people who've actually petitioned and gotten their voting rights back. So, again, for that population, I would suggest that they attempt to do that. However, for you, my caller, who talked about not liking either of the two, but yet being able to still complain, I somewhat stand on my initial premise, and that is if you don't decide by the two and try to figure between the two which is the lesser of those evils, I still say that I don't believe you have the right to complain. You're taxed and all of that, but the reality of it is you had a choice. and you had to pick the best or the worst or whatever of the two. And we kind of work up to this. This is a process. So there were primaries and things of that nature that took place too, where maybe you could have found someone else who did align better. And maybe you voted then, but that candidate didn't win out. So now you're down to a couple of people, and you got to make some decisions. It's hard, it's tough, but that's just the reality of the political process.
Mm. Well, and let me throw this out there. The term lesser of two evils, I just don't believe that that is a godly way to vote, picking a lesser of two evils. That seems so contrary to anything Christian within my body at all. I really believe that what we should be doing, I'm answering the question that I posed, you know, how should Christians vote? God should be our direction of how we should vote or who we should be voting for. Mr. Sanderson, you mentioned a very good point that everybody, there's so many people that are not knowledgeable of the political process. And I respect Dr. Truss in his comment that, hey, you know, you got time. But how do we bridge that, gentlemen? How do we deal with that population of individuals that are not knowledgeable, want to be involved in the process, may not have the time, whatever it is, to be as knowledgeable as the caller who just called in, who is in the political arena? How do we deal with that individual? Should it be us as Christians, knowing how important it is to vote, to be able to help those individuals, or do we just let them find their own way when time after time after time they are not able to find their way? I'll put that out there to Mr. Thompson.
Okay. Hey, guys. I got a different thought in some things, and I'd say this. Even though I'm growing up in the South, I have not been able to participate in 7-8 of these national presidential elections, but I have had the opportunity to obviously take into some of the congressional elections, and it's of my personal opinion that the congressional elections, and I know we're not specifically on one thing, but the congressional elections, talking about understanding the role of politics and what government can and cannot do, the congressional
right.
elections to me are even more significant than our presidential election, and it's because you've got a greater amount of people. You look at the power structure that's set up between the branches of government, and you look at that for the last 10 months to a year, because one particular branch that handles the money when it comes to what the government is able to spend, this branch has been successful in saying, we are active because we don't want to get Obama reelected. We're not going to allow anything to pass so that he can have a success on anything for this year, because we want all the focus on getting him out of Congress. So when I think about a lot of these things, and I'll say this is to a different point, but guys, I really don't believe that there is the ignorance that we think we see. I think what we see is just a passion and a focus on self-interest. I don't think it's so much an ignorance of people not understanding the political process and what controls what. I think one of the most things we need to do is, one, just try to encourage people to get involved. I believe in folks, and I believe that people will, once they get involved and get the opportunity to see their vote making a difference, they will be prompted in themselves to find out, okay, I need to place more interest now in my local government areas. Who are these guys that's running for mayor? What do we know about him? What's his background? What makes him qualified to be my city council member? And then after that whole process has taken place, who's trying to, this the young man that spoke earlier and saying that, hey, what if I decide that I don't like these two and I don't vote at all? Well, that's a statement in itself. And he was making an argument that he does have the ability to complain. I agree with that. I think what you do then you take a stronger responsibility to speak out. Maybe you need to be running. Maybe you need to talk to some folks that you feel like are the right character, the right capabilities and mindset. Don't just sit there and say, okay, I didn't vote, they all suck, and we'll just let things happen as they may. That's not the right approach. If you decide not to vote, then you decide that you need to have a bigger role. Maybe I need to help find out, okay, what it is that we actually believe, what path do we need to be on? I want to be in path and pushing that forward. I'm not a proponent of it necessarily, but that's how the Tea Party was emerged, because somebody said, I don't like the choices. Mm. And so, you know, I've got a different take on the whole process, but like I said, my biggest thing is just people, whether they understand fully what's happening. I think, Nate, what you mentioned earlier, I think it's significant for us to closely analyze everyone that's speaking to me about a decision, and then I go back and find out, now, what's the truth? I heard what's been said. Now, what's the truth, and how does it affect me? And that's how I handle the process, and that's how my family and I have always kind of maintained things in our home.
Good thing. Thank you. Let's go back to our caller, gentlemen. I think our caller wants to ask another question, another comment. Caller 7600, did you have another question or comment?
No, I'm okay, guys. Actually, I'm just listening to what you all have to say, and I think you're I guess it's another one of your guests. I mean, that was perfect, you know, what he had to say in terms of his thoughts and him having a different thought pattern than what everybody else is saying. And again, I just think y'all had having a wonderful conversation. I'm getting educated. I'm just listening. It's always great to have a multitude of ideas, because some of the things you don't think about, other people always put out there. So I'm getting educated. I'm enjoying the conversation, guys.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, this is Nate. Can I expound on the last question that you had? What do we
sure.
do? Okay, I just wanted to expound on that a little, and I don't profess to have all of the answers, but one of the things that I have done as a father, I have three black males. My oldest son is 31, and my youngest son is 21, and all of them are politically active, and it was not a choice for them to be politically active. I ran for an office back in 2004, and my now 21-year-old son was my campaign manager, so he had to be about 11, 12 years old. He was my campaign manager. He went with me and campaigned with me everywhere. So he saw an example. And one of the reasons why I'm so actively involved in the community is because my mother did the same thing. So I guess what I'm saying is, we have to create that environment in our home. We have to inspire our people and the people in our surroundings to want to be involved and to look at what a good process we have. And also, when we leave out of our circle, we have to be able to go back. I remember when I was growing up as a kid, we had days in school where you could go to school and you could play like you were the presidential candidate, and you could vote. In the church, you could vote as a kid. You know, we had mock voting. We had things in the community that trained the child. And, oh, wow, that's biblical. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. So that's what I think one of the things that we can do as community leaders and as parents and leading our own families is set that example. And when I say set that example, get out and do it. You can't get out. You can't just sit up here and start talking about it. You got to get out and be about it. And I think that we as a community, as a Christian community, as a black community, we have gotten away from that participation in that process.
Thank you, sir. One of the things that our caller had mentioned was values, and I heard another one of you gentlemen mention about personal responsibility. I believe that was Minister Thompson. There is a level of personal responsibility that we all have to take, whether it is for or against whatever the candidate that we want to be in office or not. The thing that I'm looking to see if we can have conversation about is, what is biblical behind your decision? We know that as Christians, the Bible is that source. It is that sacred text that we use, that we believe that God has given to help guide and direct us along with the Holy Spirit. So that being the case, how do we communicate as Christians what is biblical about how we're making a decision? Because what you just said, Mr. Sanderson, it was something that was seen. It was something in your household, which led up to you being in position, which led up to your sons being politically active. So if it's seen and there's no biblical basis behind it, how can I follow the individual that is making those type of decisions? What is biblical? So, again, the question is, what is biblical behind your decision? Why? What scripture, what text are you using or trying to use to validate your position? You know, Minister Thompson, let's start with you if you don't mind.
Dr. Tuff, go ahead for me.
And your question basically is, what scripture are we looking at that actually helps to defend my position?
Well, and I don't want to use the word defend. I'm coming up to you. You're saying that you're going to vote for President Obama for just circumstantially. As a Christian, let's say I'm a young babe in Christ. You're saying that this is the right thing to do. This is the godly thing to do. This is how God will want it because of the values and morals. But if you don't have any type of biblical basis, why should I listen to you with that, especially being a minister, especially you being a pastor? Why would I listen to that? Why should I take that if there's no biblical backing behind your decision? Or is it really, is the truth of the matter, is the decision just what I want, what we were discussing earlier about my personal interests?
Well, you know, I think that if we search the scriptures to defend, well, you said not to use a defend, or you didn't really mean defend. I guess I would base my decision on, you know, a couple of different places. But what one place would be just the simple idea or concept of loving thy neighbor. You know, when I look at where I am politically, a lot of it has to do with that concept. And I look to find the group that I believe will better secure, better prepare, better support the majority of the folk. And a lot of what I'm looking at, again, would be centered around that. So that's pretty much where I am. I also wanted to go back to the whole lesser of two evil pieces.
All right.
I wanted to make sure that everyone understands that that is a political point of view, if you will, or a political statement that's used in politics basically to say you look at the candidates and you decide who in reality better lines up with what you believe and you think are not lining up with what you don't believe. So that's a term or a group of terms or a phrase that's commonly used. So don't take that, you know, literally. You take that figuratively speaking, of course. So I wanted to make sure we clear that piece up. But that's common political terminology, especially when you're somewhat down to two candidates. But anyway, going back again, I would look to the whole idea of loving thy neighbor, looking to see out of the parties, out of the persons, who would better align with that concept. Because again, I understand that we have to pay attention to who will impact the majority of the people in the direction that you or whomever would have them to go. So I'll stop right there.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, moderator, can I chime in for a second? Sorry, I missed you earlier.
Sure, let me say one thing, Mr. Thompson. And the reason I brought that up, and I'm glad you clarified, because as men of God, as Christians, as ministers, people listen to what we say. Our speech is important. And oftentimes, individuals don't know how to parse whether your statement is a political statement or is that part of your Christianity. You see what I'm saying? So I'm glad you clarified that so everybody understands that it is important how we speak and the terminology that we use. I'd rather let us use the Christian speech versus the political speech because you can still deal with the Christian, the political part, even speaking from a Christian point of view. But Brother Thompson, go ahead, please.
No, I was simply going to say, you know, I'm of the mindset, and you can remember that as well, because of the influence and because of the position that we're placed in as pastors and leaders, I am 100% against speaking politics from the pulpit. And my reason for that is because whenever you're standing, Nathan, you there?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Okay. Whenever you're standing in the pulpit, whenever you stand in that place of pastor or pastoral authority, many times the ignorance there is people take everything that's said as thus saith the Lord. So if it seems like my pastor is Democratic, that means he's telling me to vote Democrat. If it seems like my pastor is, that all Republicans are evil, then we need to stay away from that party and this and that. So I think while we have a role to encourage and inspire our people to join into the political process, I think we have to be careful where we go with that. I think Nathan was dead on when he said, if you're going to lead somebody in this, don't lead them on just what you feel or your personal experiences. Where can you lead them in the scripture? And there is scripture that doesn't talk about politics, but there are scriptures that speak to the issues that we face in this political society. We're talking about taxes. You're talking about abortion, if you're talking about the reliance of government, you're talking about the homosexual versus the heterosexual situation. You talk about the place of prayer, the forms of government. All those things are well written and well documented within scripture that we can use to see this is how God has handled it. And as a result, if I'm going to fall in line with the way the word of God follows, then I'm going to follow this regardless. And where people, I think, get into the whole notion of lesser of two evils, then they say, well, I stand with this particular individual on the anti-abortion because the Bible speaks to that. Or I stand with this individual on no same-sex marriage because the Bible speaks clearly on that. But where I don't stand on this individual is the issue where it treats brothers one another, like we've mentioned before, having love one another. In the Acts Church, the first church that we have in existence, they were able to obliterate their debt by coming together and sharing the debt. Well, if you mention that today, someone would label that whole process with just socialism. We don't want that. So I think when people talk about really wanting to know God's way of doing things, no, they don't. They just want to know, can I find scriptures to go along with what I already want to do?
Interesting. And let me say this. Seeming like we're pushing there and we're still staying in line with the vote, because this is just these are the kind of conversations that we have to have. These are the things that I just believe down in my spirit that God wants us to talk about beforehand, because the reality is this, gentlemen, after that first Tuesday in November, there's going to be a whole bunch of people happy and a whole bunch of people hurt. So going back to your scripture, Brother Dante, which I believe is the heart of all of us, love thy neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus said. So how do we position ourselves so that when that happens, all of those hurting individuals, all those individuals that are feeling a sense of loss, what is going to be our stance? What is going to be the stance of the Christian who also happens to be a Democrat if the Democrat wins and the Republicans, quote-unquote, lose? Because that's what it is. Same thing on the other end. If the Republican wins, what is going to be the stance of the Christian? Just to be happy that the other person lost? Or is there going to be anything that that Christian is going to be willing to do? And I think the way that we align ourselves with a particular party, it can hinder our witness. Because if all I'm hearing you talk about is Democrat, 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 and all I hear is the demonization of the Republican or vice versa, there's no way that I'm going to feel comfortable coming to you to get some type of assistance. There's no way that I'm going to feel comfortable enough with you thinking that you're going to assist me. So I think that's really, 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 really important. And to your point, Brother Thompson, about the pastoral influence, that's even more critical. I've seen it, I've heard it, and I've spoken out against it. I think that the pulpit is not the place. I remember several years ago in the church, a pastor came for whatever we were doing at the particular time. And this pastor said something to the effect, I can't tell you who to vote for, but I can give you a Barack type of shout. Really, dude? Seriously? What did that send a message to for everybody sitting in the church that day?
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? That type of stuff is just like so foul. I think it's just it stinks in the nostrils of God, because everybody in those pews, everybody in that church at that day, may not have been a Democrat. I know for exactly one of them that wasn't me.
Right.
So what do I feel? We can go present day. We can go after that time period. If everything is about against Obama, then what am I going to feel about going to them who are in my congregation? So I'm a stark supporter of, you know, you have to be able to walk that straight and narrow. You have to not be that individual that is constantly communicating for one side or the other. And we talked about that last time, gentlemen, about you can't pray for the president but also talk about him at the same time. Those two things don't mix. Brother Sanderson, what about the love thy neighbor piece? Is that a piece that that is critical for you in your voting process? Is it about loving thy neighbor? Is it about voting for the individual that has that same value of the neighbor?
Wow, I had to have to give that some thought. Are you asking me, when the candidate that I vote for, do I have to love him?
No. Do you believe that for you as an individual, is that something core to you for your voting process, for your selection process of who you believe you need to be voting for, or who you need to put your support into? Is it when you say, for me, it's about love my neighbor? Do you look for that same type of quality, that same type of value? Do you look to see if what that individual from your party, is that what they're really showing?
Okay, gotcha. I got it now. I gotcha. Okay, well, yeah, I do think that you want to see the humanity in a person. I mean, my Christian values shape who I am. They are in our country, and I think throughout the world, religion is the essence of who we are. For those people that are religious, spirituality is the essence of who we are. And so that makes up a large percentage of what we are and who we are. And those values, when I see a person violating those values, and not necessarily my values, but let's just go with some very basic values, like you said, love your neighbor, not necessarily whether you're a Mormon or Jewish or Muslim, but that's a basic value that we should all have. You know, a lot of people say just by being a decent human being, but it really is by being a good spiritual person, wanting to please God. So if I'm wanting to please God and I am truly, then I'm gonna want to see someone that's trying to aspire to do the same thing. And somebody said earlier, how do we know what they're saying? I think that if what they're saying is accurate or true, well, if we try the word by the word. So my measuring stick is the Christian Bible. So if that politician is speaking to me or speaking to the community, and I want to know if he's a godly person that I should really listen to and consider voting for, I'm going to try his word with the word. And so if his word is lining up with the word, then the one that lines up the best with the word of God, or the one that seems to have the best grasp of that, then you seek God's face. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, I'm looking at you, but now I got to put a little prayer in this thing. And now I got to ask God for guidance on this, because God, I see two great men that both of them are good, have good values, and they love you and everything. But now, God, I need your guidance. And so that, I think if you go that route, and you put it in God's hands, you give it back to God, you can't go wrong.
And Brother Nate, I want to add to that. It's important that we remember that neither one, better that none of us, are perfect. And when you go back to the concept that I shared earlier as it relates to lesser of two evils, though you didn't necessarily like that comment, the process still comes down to between those persons who align well with what you are looking for out of a candidate. So it does come down to the lesser of two, and whether you say evil or the better of two good, however you reverse it and flip it. The reality of it, at the end of the day, some tough decisions have to be made, and those decisions have to be based on these candidates holistically. And you have to look at, again, which of them better align with your views. And, of course, the Holy Spirit and prayer has to be a major part of it. But at the end of the day, tough decisions have to be made, and nobody's perfect.
Okay, Brother Trust. We know that nobody's perfect, but we know that there are some serious issues that we still don't bring out. We know that there's serious flaws that we don't talk about. I'll give you a perfect example. I heard the other day, or maybe it was about 2 weeks ago, I think the Democratic national chair, a female from Florida. I may be wrong. I may be a little off. But I was watching
Debbie
CNN.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
There you go. Thank you, sir. And she had made some comments. She had put out some information, or maybe it was a statement. We don't have to get into that, but let me just give the premise. And what the statement was, it was played in entirety by Anderson Cooper on CNN. And when he challenged her with that, everything was being deflected. So what I'm looking for is, I'm saying, if this is your chairperson for your party, that is straight lying. That's what it was. It was a straight manipulation of the truth. Normal people call that a lie. Normal people call that a lie. I have a hard time saying that this is who I need to be aligned with. And when I don't hear anybody crying out, anybody speaking out against it because that is with my party, then that means now I look at you from a different light as an individual. I'm not judging you, but you place yourself in a place of judgment, in my opinion, with a political party and with individuals that are doing some things that are clearly not godly, because it was clear, again, the whole context of what was said when the transcript was read was definitely taken all out of context. Now, that's just one example, and I'm not picking on the Democrats, because there are some things on the Republican side as well that we can also go through. It's not about that. It's, okay, so where is God at in that process? What do we do as Christians? What can we say to people who don't have any faith in this process at all, or have lost so much faith in the process? Think about it. 5,000 out of 30,000 people voted. The things that people see, the things that people hear, are helping to drive them make decisions. Not necessarily what people are seeing on CNN. It's stuff that people are saying that is around them within their community. So how do we... where do we go back to the Bible? Where do we go back to God? Where do we stand up and say, hey, this is not what this person did was not right. I'm embarrassed that that person did that. That person should be ashamed. At the same time, we need to pray for that individual. But if nobody's standing up, if the Christian is silent to all of these shenanigans that's going on, why should we expect anything other than whatever God is going to bring down judgment on us for in that particular instance? And that's not directly towards the Democrat. Again, that's something that I saw from one particular party, and there's a whole right. bunch of other things that we can say from either party.
Right, right. Let's make that very clear, because right. we can also go down a litany of things that have transpired on the Republican side that was totally inaccurate, and they've been called to the table on it as well. That happens on both sides.
But that's not the issue is, regardless of what side it was, when you are with that side, what are you going to do? What are you going to say about it? My thing is God waiting for us to say something about that thing, or is it we're turning a deaf ear to it because the other side done it? I had a pastor that told me, I told this pastor one time, I said, the things that you said was totally inappropriate from the pulpit. I may know your heart, but the things that you said just now was very inappropriate to a particular party. And this pastor's response back to me was, well, they that's the same thing they do down the road. And my response to that pastor was, it's still inappropriate, whether they do it or whether you do it. So if the response is, well, the other party does it, that doesn't make it right. that does not bring the values that we're talking about that we mentioned. That's not the right type of morals, in my opinion. So what do we do with that? Or do we not? Are we not standing up for the right thing, just letting it go because we're affiliated with a particular party?
Well, I think there.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think that there are people who do stand up against situations like that and also stand for the truth on both sides of the party. I think it's important for us to remember that we can't control anyone else. We can only control ourselves. We have platforms just like we created tonight to discuss it. You know, if we want to speak more, you develop groups and advocacy groups. And you go out and you speak on that. But the reality of it is, when it all boils down to what we're going to do on November 6th, you're going to have to look at both sides and just decide who better aligns themselves with where you are. And there's going to be mud thrown on both sides, and it's going to happen. But again, that's your right to begin to look at who and what party better aligns itself to where you are. I mean, we can talk about the lack of honesty. You could talk about it, and we know it's there, it's clear as day. But in the end, you still got to make a tough decision based on all the information that's been gathered.
All right. Somebody else had a comment?
I was going to say that.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
This is Trust, but it wasn't me. I think it was another gentleman speaking.
All right. He may have got bumped off.
All right, go ahead. We're back with you. Go ahead.
No, that wasn't me. It was the other gentleman. I think he got bumped off.
All right. Well, maybe he'll jump back on the line in a minute. I don't see him right now. So let's talk about the issues. Give me 1 minute. I think he's coming back right now. All right, go ahead, brother. You're back on the air with us. Brother Thompson?
Yeah, I was simply going to say, I think in order to see real change take place, and I say this probably has more to do with the hard runners. In other words, if you consider yourself a Democrat, you consider yourself a Republican, I think they actually have greater authority to make some of these changes. In other words, we want to see them win this by who they really are and basically not have to debase one another to try to promote themselves. So in other words, if I don't like the service of a store, I simply stop attending. I don't necessarily go outside and picket and say, okay, I think you should because they were rude to me. But
wow.
I decide that I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to speak as a person, as a shopper. I have the authority to determine how the folks are going to treat me, even some of the options that they're going to present to me, because they're going to look at the furniture scene that's bought. It's the same thing, this whole political process. What the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have consistently been able to believe is that when it comes down to it, the American people don't care how it's said or what it's said, that we will tolerate the one that is beaten up the least at the end of the day, and we'll pick the guy that looks like he's doing the beating up. And if the hardliners will say to their candidate, we're losing, folk, because you're talking about stuff that's completely irrelevant. You're lying. Well, he's lying on you. Well, you'd be the guy that's not going to be a liar. You'd be the guy that's going to be one of the integrity. If not, I don't want to be associated with the party. It's not
right.
The real sway in this election, presidential election at least, it's not going to be with easy parties, hardliners. Those folks that have been Democrats are still Democrats. Those folks that are Republicans are probably going to still be Republicans. But you've got independents like myself and others like Nate that we're the ones simply saying, okay, well, last year I might have voted for Obama. This year I might be looking at Romney because of this, because of that. So we're going to be a little bit more critical because we don't feel an association. But if you want to see that group, that party, do what's right, if it's in them to do right, then I think that's speaking up within your groups, your local groups, to the national groups to say, the way we run this is completely abysmal, and the way that it does not make me feel like I'm a part of something that is, God would be proud to say, this is what we're doing. And I think it needs to happen on both sides.
Can I add something into this? And I'm just sitting up thinking. And I also, let me just say this right here about the process. California has just came out with, and they're testing it in some areas in California, where there you can stay in whatever party you want. And you have a primary, and let's say you got 5 Republicans, 3 Democrats, whatever. You all get in there, you run, you put your ideas out. The top 2 people win, and they vote in the you vote for them in the general election. I said that to say that we as voters, and we have to make sure that we get the system that we want. Too often we accept what we're given, and we accept parties that will condone calling a person out of his name, calling the person, telling in a State of a Union address, telling the commander in chief that he's telling a lie, and nobody in that party stands up and say anything, and vice versa. On the Democrat side, when George Bush was president, they dogged him out, and it has gotten so vicious that. But we as voters, we don't demand anything else, so we get what we're asking for. Yeah, we get what we allow. We allow it to happen. And I just tell you straight, I think somebody said that I was an independent. No, I'm not an independent. I'm a straight-up Republican.
No, we didn't say that, brother.
Oh, okay.
We didn't talk about Brother Costa.
Okay, yeah, I thought somebody. I'm a Republican, but I tell you this right here. I don't vote a straight Republican ticket all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I vote for people. I'm not ashamed to tell nobody. I voted for Barack Obama.
Right.
And I will probably vote for him again this time. I don't know who I'm going to vote for, but I know who I'm leaning towards. And that does not make me stop making me a Republican. What makes me a Republican is I agree more with their platform than I do the Democratic platform. And
right.
So that, you know, and even this year, I know it's kind of sketchy this year with, you know, but I'm talking traditionally. We're in some trying times right now. All things don't work out. But I just wanted to put that out there that we are allowing our political process that many people, generations have fought for and died for us to have these rights. And it came out of the church. Our civil rights movement came out of the church. And we're getting away from that idea. The church is getting away from the idea that the church, believe it or not, if you really want to go back and start digging, the church was one of the reasons why slavery was allowed to be perpetrated on the African, and why it lasted so long. Now that same thing is that same Christianity is what allows us to be free today. The government, the same government that we drape our flag in and we pledge allegiance to every day, that flag flew over slavery. We don't understand, I don't say we, but too often we do not understand the whole of the picture of what we're living with and the complexities and the nuances of all this. I'll be quiet.
Anderson, you done dropped the mic on us tonight, brother. So going back to the Bible, let's take a specific issue, because I know that there are, if we're talking about the party or if we're talking about the individual, there are certain key issues that are really relevant, which are deal breakers for some individuals. Dr. Truss, Mr. Sanderson, could you just name one? Are there any deal breakers for your party? And the reason I'm asking you is because I hear it from individuals, but they may not be from your political party. So what would be a deal breaker for a Democrat? What would be a deal breaker for a Republican? What is something that your party says, this is something that we just can absolutely not go along with voting for this other individual because he or she is in support of this or he or she is not in support of this? And
I think for me, it is overt racism. It's a straight deal breaker for me.
Okay, who is this again?
Nate Sanderson.
Okay, I just want to make sure everybody knew who we were talking about. Okay. So expound on that. What do you mean that's a deal breaker?
Well, when I see a party that will not correct its own, I don't know if everybody on the call is military, but let me just say about the military. The military has this saying, police your own rank. If you ever been in the military, you know that you are required to police your own ranks. In other words, if you see your peers doing something that is antithetical to the mission and to the good order and discipline of the unit, you have to speak out to them. The same thing goes in politics to me. If I see elected Republicans condoning racism, if I see non-elected party officials condoning racism, if I see members condoning racism, that's a deal breaker for me because I know where we've come from. And I know it's too easy to get back into that. A lot of these other things, we can work those things out in an election cycle, or you know, you raised taxes, or you cut my taxes this way, and I didn't like. We can go back and fix that in a couple election cycles. But racism, that's a deal breaker for me. And listen, blacks can be racist.
Right.
It's just not whites. Blacks can be racist because I've heard some very vile things come out some of those black elected officials.
So, Mr. Sanderson, are you saying that if that's what you were experiencing or if you heard that from your party, that you would not associate with the party, or would you stand up to fight against that within your party?
It has to be on two levels. I don't think if you don't have a voice, you stand up and talk all you want to anybody listening to you. So you have to find your voice and see where you can be effective, and you have to make a difference in that area. Me, I'm a black Republican in charge of the Columbus NAACP. I stand up. I do a lot of things in the community, and they know how I feel. Right now, I do not have a lot of standing in the Republican Party, so it wouldn't do me a whole lot of good to stand up and try to chastise a party that I'm really not that affiliated with, even though I'm still a Republican, because I have chosen to not affiliate with either party. I have chosen to be nonpartisan while I'm the president of this organization. So right now, I don't think I have the standing to go and tell them one way or the other, but I can make it known to my friends that I don't agree with that.
All right. Dr. Truss.
Yes. Again, I think that's a very good question. For me, it would basically come down to the idea of any party not paying attention to the least of us. When we begin not to take care of the poor and take care of the elderly, when we begin to overlook those groups of persons who need the assistance of the country, if those things become concepts and ideas that are not paid attention to, then I begin to move away from whatever party.
Okay. And I know, Mr. Thompson, you're not affiliated with a particular party, but what are some things that you've heard about either party that seem like they're deal breakers?
I'll be completely honest with you, and I think both of these gentlemen are on it. It's funny, and it happens in all parties, but like my first brother said, if I see celebrated racism, not just hidden,
but even celebrated racism, which I really feel that that they used the fact that President Obama was as president at the time as an excuse that it was okay to say some things that were harsh and crude and off tone, and the honor and dignity that way we want to show the president that is not a black man in the office. I didn't see that reciprocated. So if I was not a fan of President Obama, when I see things like that being done, it makes me want to support him because of those things. Now, I don't base it all on emotion or how I feel, but there's some other things as well. And then when I see a party that does not seem to care as much about our elderly or our veterans, or doesn't look at the fact that I believe it was Newt Gingrich that made a reference to African Americans on welfare. And it was an ignorant comment because of the 100 million people on welfare, a good 35-40% of them are Caucasian.
Wow.
So it's not the whole idea, okay, if you're African American, you're either poor on welfare or you're stealing from somebody. So I have no alliances because of those reasons, and I see those things happening on both sides of the field. And as a result, whether I really in everything, and that's why that's my encouragement to everybody else, to seek God's wisdom on who to select or who to write in. I mean, what a message would it carry if the turnout was high for voter turnout, but the names written in wasn't the ones we thought? Maybe that kind of chaos would create the kind of mindset in our country. You know what? We need to change the way we do things. Our political process is really, really corrupted.
Mm.
Well, since Mr. Sanderson done dropped the mic, Dr. Trust done dropped the mic, Mr. Thompson has dropped the mic, I think we're going to end there, gentlemen. I thank you so much for just being with us today. I really wanted to see if individuals wanted to hear us a little bit longer than the 1 hour, and they've done that. There's plenty of people that are still listening right now. So for all of the listeners right now, we truly appreciate you sticking with us past the normal 1 hour time frame this evening. Dr. Truss, 1 minute, if you can, would you like to just give us a closing remark before we head out for the night?
Yeah, I will. Again, thank you for this platform. Thank you for the dialogue, gentlemen. I enjoy it. The voting process, the political process, is so important. One of the panelists stated earlier, understanding the process. We need to get a better understanding of it, and I say we, I'm talking about our people in general. When you have a better understanding of the process, it's important to make sure that you go out and you cast that vote. That is your opportunity to speak your mind. If you want to start groups to begin to impact the political process, go out and do it. If you want to get into this thing, run for office. But be a part of it, because if you're not a part of it, the same process, the same system will beat you up. So become a part of it so that you have it, you can impact it. Yes, vote, and I'll stop here.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you so much. Mr. Sanderson, closing comment, if you don't mind.
Sure. I really do thank you, and I enjoy talking with your guests, and once again, it was a very engaging conversation, very respectful, and that is a testament to your moderated skills and leadership ability. So thank you, Brother Minister Dunlap, for conducting such an informative program. As always, you know, I think that voting is very important. I think that it's the political process, and understanding the political process is where we as Christians, as African Americans, as blacks, we're going to make our greatest gains in the political arena. We need to understand it. We need to learn it. We need to embrace it. And I hope this is not the last time that you have a discussion like this. We need more forums like this throughout our community. We need young people engaging. I would love to have this or something like this at the collegiate level or even the high school level, and have it in the community talking. I think this right here just engages people and inspires them to do more in their community. So thank you for facilitating this and giving me this opportunity.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much, good brother. Minister Thompson.
Well, I won't take up too much time. I think everybody, with everything that was said tonight, I thought was tasteful. I think it was informative. I think it was genuine. And I think it was well said. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to share my humble views. And I look forward to having further discussions like this. And I just pray that God would just bless each and every one of you, your ministries, your families. And, you know, I just, you know, just encourage you all to keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, my brother. Well, next week, Sister Skeen will be back 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't have her topic for next week, but you can go in and catch that We Speak Radio Association. We also want you to consider liking us on Facebook as well as on the We Speak Radio page on Blog Talk Radio. We're really, really concerned about individuals on Freedom Radio. We're concerned about what people think. We're concerned about what people feel. We're concerned about what people are going through. We're concerned about information that is not getting to individuals. We're concerned that individuals don't have the outlets to be able to have responsible and respectable dialogue because of some of what is really encapsulating our airways. So we're just thankful for the opportunity. We thank God that Sister Skeen was led by God to start doing this last year, and that you, the faithful listeners, have been with us for going on almost a year now. Let me close by saying this. These are not my words, but these are the words of Jesus. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." So that's some strong words from our Lord and Savior, that a house divided against itself is not going to stand. So that means that it is imperative that we come together, because Lord knows we don't want to see this country fall. That means that everybody, every one of us in our respective places, we don't have to be the president, we don't have to be in Congress, we don't have to be the mayor of our local city. We as individuals have a voice. As a Christian, as a man and woman of God, we have a voice to be able to communicate on behalf of God what God is telling us. So when these things that are not true, that are not godly, that are not just are occurring, God has an expectation, and that's my belief, that he has an expectation for us that we address those things. So once again, we thank you here from Freedom Radio, and we'll see you again next Tuesday at 8:30. God bless, and have a good night.